having so much fun on a radio show.
Fun within prescribed limits.
Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
The government and parents everywhere, they tried to ban it.
Welcome back to the George Plaster Show.
He's a fine man.
He's a great broadcaster.
Brought to you by Fort Durham Injury Law. Call George now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com.
He's a very powerful guy.
And now, here's the man, the myth, the legend, George Plaster.
So let's have some confessions of a sinner here to start the 3 o'clock hour.
Just confessional now?
A little bit.
Okay.
Chris Lee has been nice enough to put up with more BS from me in the last 24 hours. I have changed the time that he was coming on this show 3 different times. It's called Get Your Stuff Together, George. Chris has been nice enough to put up with this. Chris, I owe you one. That's all I'll say, because I know Watson's going to say it for me.
George, you joined me for a full hour to talk Vanderbilt football on my podcast yesterday, so you might actually own the trump card in this one.
Well, why don't we start there? Because you do a thing called the mailbag. And the mailbag had a couple of great questions. So you know what? I'm going to throw them right back at you. You ready?
Sure.
The mailbag asks the question, if Vanderbilt were to be contemplating a football coaching change, don't you have to have a chancellor in place before you do that? And I really hadn't given that as much thought as I should have. So when you hear that question, what's your answer?
Well, when I talk to people that are familiar with the situation to some degree, and I don't know, to be honest, I have pretty good sources, and there's sources that know what goes on, but you've got an AD who has kept things pretty close to the vest, and I don't think anybody knew that the Bryce Drew firing was coming when it came, and so anything I say would be within that context. We might think we know Malcolm Turner, we might think we know what he's thinking, but we may not. So with that said, I understand it, and I think it is complicated by the fact that he has already made one move on a basketball coach, and let's say that, you know, that doesn't go well. Let's say that he makes a hire for a football coach sooner than he would like to, which I think would definitely be the case. I mean, it may fall apart. They may have to, but the fact remains that then an AD is also on the hook for his hires. And now that'll be two of them if they were to make the change. So that's one hand. And the chancellor, obviously, if football is going to be a bigger priority around there, I think the chancellor would probably want to have a hand in that. On the other end of that coin, though, there's part of me that scratches my head and says, well, wait, you hire a guy to do a job. You hire a guy to look out for the best interest of athletics. And if that guy thinks that the best interest of athletics is to make a coaching change right now, why should not having an immediate boss stop him? I mean, if we're going to go down that line of reasoning, who over there can make a major decision about anything right now? And sometimes there are decisions that are important but not urgent, and sometimes there are decisions that are both important and urgent. I think that's one that might be the case if this losing skid continues, because I understand all the reasons they want to wait, but, man, they're not going to have a fan base left, and they barely do as it is.
Right. So if Derek Mason were given the opportunity to go in at some point between now and shortly after the end of the season and sell his case for how this is going to be better, what is it he says to Malcolm Turner?
If I'm him and I've got to make that argument, I would say this. Look, 2014 was a disaster, and it took a while to recover from. But if you look at what we did, we were a bowl 2 years later. We were pretty respectable for the next 3 years, and I feel like I can do it again. Now, I don't know that anybody's going to buy that at this point. But in his defense, he has had some history of disaster recovery that I didn't think was possible. I don't think most people thought was possible. And that is part of his record, too.
Agreed. Watson?
Chris, two questions. First one leading off of what George talked about with the chancellor. What I think would be hard is if there is a change, how do you go to the next coach and say, we're going to do these things for you? We're going to fix this stadium. We're going to put the money in these salaries. That's got to come from the top to do those things. And I think that would be hard right now for Malcolm to do. It's one of the reasons I'm not sure that's what he'd want to do right now. How do you feel about that?
That is another factor that I've heard mentioned over and over, and it is a completely legitimate point. At the same time, I can always look at these things and say, well, goodness, we can also put a man on the moon, right? So if you really need to do that and you really are committed to wholesale changes with how you handle sports, which everybody continues to tell me is going to happen, which is going to include a financial component, surely there's a way to do that. You know, have members of the board of trust in on things. Have the chair of the member of the board of trust on things and say, hey, look, we are not exactly finished with this yet, but here are some things that we're thinking or whatever you feel you can share. I don't know. I think that's a legitimate concern. But I think if you really feel like you need to hire a football coach and get a great one, I think you can get people that have some authority, I would think, to speak to that situation. I mean, these people are smarter than I am. I would think if you feel like that's what you have to do, I would have to think there's some way to communicate something. Oh, by the way, another way you can communicate that is say, hey, here's $20 million over the next 4 years to be our coach. That's another way you can communicate seriousness about where you are as well.
And my second question to you, as I look down the stretch, and I think this is just critical on what we're talking about here, and to me, Chris, Kentucky's offense is not very good. East Tennessee will not have an offense that's going up and down the field. And then Tennessee's offense is still very average. They're winning on defense right now. We match these next three games very, very well. If we could get any offense going at all, I'm telling you that there's a lot better shot in these games than, say, Florida was or whatever. Do you see it that way?
I do. None of these teams that they're playing are exceptionally talented. Tennessee would probably be the worst matchup at this point because those guys have got a couple of receivers. They can just throw it up to those guys and let them get it and go. I don't know how sustainable that is, but it is working for them right now. I think these are games that are going to be lower possession games, slower pace games. And when you get in a game that could be 17-14, 14-13, 12-10, something like that, which I think you could argue that that's what these games could turn out to be if the defensive improvement that we've seen at times is legit, then those a lot of times are coin flip games. I mean, look, the season's gone terribly. It is hard for me to pick them to win much of anything right now other than ETSU. But I think you look at the way the Missouri game played out, they do have one of those under their belt in the recent past, and I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility they could win another one that way.
Terry?
Chris, you're talking about, you know, as Watson brought up, the last three games on the schedule. And I know that the wins over Tennessee, I think it's, what, 3 years in a row, that certainly carries a lot of weight with the Vanderbilt fan base. But Malcolm Turner is new to the job. How much do you think a win over Tennessee, how much weight would that carry with Malcolm Turner and with the administration if they could do it for 4 years in a row?
I think that saves his job, probably. I mean, there's a lot of weird optics with this year, but I guess if you wanted to take a very one-sided view of things, you could say that firing a coach after beating Tennessee 4 years in a row would be an odd look because that's something that Vanderbilt has not done since the 1920s. I mean, I think that's the wild card is how do these games play out? They've already proven that they could win one that nobody saw coming. And I think, and I've thought this for a while, and I'm not the only one on this beat that thinks that. I think Malcolm is just looking for him, he being Mason, to give them anything, just anything to grasp on to justify having him back, because we've been through the complications if they don't. And I think that would definitely be a Tennessee win would be the life raft that I think would do it for Derek Mason.
Okay, let's assume for a minute that Derek Mason is back and they offer him up, you know, a contract extension to stay on. Are there anything, you know, as sort of Watson was alluding to regarding facilities, are there anything, you know, is there anything that he should probably ask for in terms of adding for raises for his coaches or for an upgrade of facilities, those sorts of things? And are those things doable within reason even without a new stadium?
You mean a prospective new coach, or you mean Derek?
No, I mean if they were to keep Derek around and give him an extension, how much do you think that they should give him the same things that maybe a new coach would require by in terms of giving the coaches a raise, you know, upgrading the facilities as much as possible? Because as we've talked about many times before, for any coach to be successful here and to be able to recruit the way that you've got to recruit, he needs the upgrade just like the new coach would.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I think they will, whoever the coach is, I think they're going to have an upgraded locker room / players lounge, something along those lines. I think from what I'm hearing, it'll be very nice. There'll be other things, and at Vanderbilt is always easier to get things done that affect the students, the players. And so I think, I don't know what else Mason specifically would want in regards to that, but that's an easier thing to get done in the stadium. But even with the stadium, I think they will get that done. It may be something on the current footprint. You know, and I think the numbers that I hear privately with their capital campaign that they're asking and they're getting so far, because at Vanderbilt, I think the rule is they have to raise half the money before they take a campaign public. And they've already raised safely hundreds of millions of dollars, some of which will go for athletics. So that'll be the other thing. I think the stadium needs to be sort of a smaller state-of-the-art kind of thing, maybe a roof over it, something like that, or a retractable roof. I don't know exactly what it'll look like. But, I mean, it's the same things that people have brought up year over year. Weight room would be another one. I think whether it's Derek or whether it's the next guy, I think there's a set of things that next coach is probably going to get. It'll be light years ahead of what they've had.
Chris, give
one
us...
last one.
Go ahead, Terry.
One last one from me, and it's along the similar lines, but which is the bigger issue in your mind? The team not being competitive, or the fact that fan apathy seems to have set in over at Memorial Stadium? I mean, Dudley Field.
I think it's the latter. I think he's had 6 years for a fan base to either buy in or not. And the fact that it's not, you know, you can fix seasons year to year, but their attendance the last 3 or 4 years, even when they were playing by Vanderbilt standards over the last 60 years very well, their attendance still lagged. I do think that, and we've talked about this on this show before, I do think that there was a number of people that just, once the Temple game happened, did not buy in, and still is not buying in under the current state of things. I think you can fix disasters a lot of times. I mean, we've even seen Derek do that before. I think when you have apathy that continues to set in the way that it has, and it's just getting worse, I think that's the tougher thing to fix, because even when he was doing his best, even when they were having 6-win seasons and going to bowls, attendance seemed to continue to decline, and I just don't know how you reverse that unless he has an 8 or 9 win season, which is not coming this year and would not come next year either.
Chris, before we let you go, give me about a minute of your thoughts about basketball and how it's going so far.
Well, they play hard. This seems to be more of a plan. I think they're still limited offensively. Jerry Stackhouse is already starting to try to dispel the narrative that I guess that they're going to be built around their guards. He said, hey, look, this isn't a big three situation. But I don't know how you can. Neesmith is their star, maybe their superstar. Saban Lee, I think, is a good player. He is, I think, finding a home in this system. And so far, Scottie Pippen, now we can't make a fair evaluation based on who they played, but I think he's looked fine in the games they played and made a big pass for them the other night. Cleavon Brown is the other piece of that puzzle. I think he's giving them some scoring in the post, not necessarily post-up scoring, but he's at least getting offensive rebounds and hitting lob dunks and things like that. I think they're very limited. I think it's going to be how far that backcourt can carry them, and can Brown be an adequate five in this league when they really don't have a true one? You know, they play hard. They're limited. Right now, at least giving people wins, which I haven't had in a while, and a reason to have some hope. And, you know, at least they're more fun to watch. So that's what I've got right now. I'm really anxious to see what they do against Richmond tomorrow night.
Chris, first of all, thank you for doing this. I have you penciled in for your next appearance midnight on Sunday. That's subject to a lot of change, probably four or five different times. Watson, I know you want to chime in on this. So take this wherever you want.
George, I think you've just done it yourself, bud. I think you've carried the torch on your own. I don't think you need any additions. Chris now knows that pretty much right. When he comes, just be ready. There's no telling. So
I love it.
I think he's learned how to roll with the flow already.
You've
got him trained.
Chris, thank you. I do apologize, and I appreciate you're putting up with this. Oh, I think we lost him. Okay. We're going to go to the break, but first things first, this has been a lively show in the first hour and 20 minutes. The one thing we have not done is open it up for you all to go wherever it is you may want to go. I know one place I want to go, and that's Kentucky's loss last night. That stunned me. I never saw that coming, and if you all are truthful, you didn't either. But anyway, whatever it is you want to get into on this beautiful Wednesday, I know a bunch of you are out there driving around. Pick up the phone and let's yap a little bit. I want to be able to do that now through the end of the show if we can. Our phone lines are open at 844-5600. Again, 844-5600, and if you'll call now, we'll get to you pretty quickly. From the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, you're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call NOW.
800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. That's 800-898-0816.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-649-4584 or go online, lynchtreeserve@aol.com.
Ensworth is a kindergarten through 12th grade, coeducational independent school located on two campuses in Nashville, Tennessee. The school incorporates a nurturing community with a challenging program to create a unique, joyful environment where students can develop the intellectual agility, self-confidence, and discipline they need to excel. Visit our website at ensworth.com to learn more.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR SkyCan forecast. For this afternoon, sunshine with a high 45. Tonight's going to be mostly clear with a low dipping down to 29. For Thursday, mostly sunny with a high 51. And for Friday, more sun, high 48. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Shannon Holly.
Sports Radio WNSR.
We are going to your phone calls in just a moment. I need one more phone call. Get us to kind of the sellout. Full lines. 844-5600 is the number. You pick the topic, and then we'll yap about it. Jay Henson, spinning the dials back behind the glass. Tell me about the app real quick. If somebody's listening and they don't know about our app, talk to them.
Yeah, if you want to get the WNSR app, just go to your Android store or your Apple iTunes, of course, and put in the letters WNSR, and once our logo pops up, you click on it and download it. It's free on all devices, and as long as you got internet/cell service, you'll be able to get us wherever you're at. Doesn't matter if you're in Japan or right down the street.
Yeah, if you are in Japan and you're listening, I'd like you to call.
That'll work.
844-5600 is the number. Matt on line one, welcome into WNSR.
Yeah, you are, George. You're doing a good job, bud.
Thank you.
Hey, let me ask you this. How does Alabama stay even within reach of this college football playoff?
Well, we'll all talk about this. I'll start with this. Matt, in the eye test, do you believe that they are one of the four or five best teams in the country?
No. No, as they played one team that they could have lost to, and they lost very badly at home.
Lost very badly at home?
Yeah, they were down by 20 at halftime.
Well, yeah, but they don't end the game at halftime. I mean, they play a second half.
So they got a useless touchdown at the end of the game to make the score look respectable.
Matt, you know damn good and well in the second half, that was a team that was playing tough. I don't care one way or the other. Frankly, I'm happy LSU won the game. But Alabama showed me something in the second half because LSU had their foot on Alabama's throat and Alabama came flying back. I give them some credit for that.
They never got the lead, and they're at home. You know, here's what I see, George. I see that this committee, whoever makes up this committee, you know, apparently a bunch of people from Tuscaloosa, got Georgia in there playing LSU in the SEC championship game. So somebody out of those two is going to lose, and then squeaky Alabama, assuming they beat Auburn, which I don't think is going to happen, will get to slide in. And they played one game this year. I mean, who else have they played? Mississippi State? Arkansas?
Well, you're right about one thing. Their schedule is not helping them. The strength of the schedule right now is not really helping them, and that's unfortunate. Now, we can agree to disagree. I think in the eye test, they are one of the four or five best. I'll grant you that defensively, they've got some work to do. But are they one of the four or five best? I think they are.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I noticed. Tua's limp wasn't that bad when he made a good play. But when that game was over and they were behind on the scoreboard, his limp got noticeably different. It was almost sad to see.
I'm not buying that.
Oh, his limp, he acted like he couldn't walk after the game was over. But whenever he made a good play, he was back. He was strutting along like he was a kingpin. You know, it was not fun to watch, but it was funny to watch.
Okay, we're going to talk about it.
It was a good work. I'll keep listening.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, Watson, you thought that they would be number four, and you kind of tell me from an eye test standpoint, what is Alabama in your mind?
Alabama's sitting and having to wait to see. That's all there is to it. They got to win out and. There's not much they can do except watch, because I said I thought Alabama would be four. I was a little surprised they weren't, and Georgia was. But I also said next week if Georgia beats Auburn, then Alabama drops to five or even lower. The more these teams behind them play better schedules and better teams and keep winning Georgia, it could get them. There's going to have to be some losses in there, and there's going to be. Minnesota moved up to eight. They've got to play Wisconsin, Iowa, and then Ohio State. So there's going to be some losses. Penn State has got to play Ohio State. Somebody's going to lose. Ohio State's still got to play Michigan, who is playing much better. Utah and Oregon are going to end up playing each other, in my opinion. And if somebody doesn't dominate that game, I'm not sure either one of those, because the strength of their schedules hasn't been very good. So it's I think Alabama is on the back burner. Do I think they're one of the better teams in the country and probably one of the top four? Yes. I don't think Tua was healthy at all in the game. And you give him time to make it to the Final Four, he would be healthy. But I'm not sure they're going to get any shot of getting there. I think now they're having to count on, did you ever think you'd be seeing Alabama pull for Auburn? That's amazing that they're going to be pulling hard for Auburn this week against Georgia. Isn't that amazing?
Terry, let me ask maybe a blasphemous question. But if I'm Nick Saban, I'm not playing Tua again until they play Auburn.
Yeah, maybe not. I think that might be the best recipe for success, is to get Tua as healthy as possible. You know, the scenario that Alabama definitely does not want is for Georgia and LSU to meet in the SEC championship game and for Georgia to pull the upset there, because then that leaves them behind a one-loss LSU, and they would have lost head-to-head to the Tigers, and they are definitely out. I'll put this at Watson. Do you think Alabama is more deserving than a one-loss Big Ten champion, whether that be Ohio State, Penn State, or Minnesota?
I think it's how, Terry, I would say it's how the loss goes and who it's to. If the one loss is an embarrassing loss and you got beat pretty good, that could hurt you. If it's Ohio State and they lost close to Minnesota and Minnesota's undefeated, Alabama's history. They have no shot, because Ohio State would still go over Alabama, in my opinion, at that point. So I just really believe, Terry, that Alabama is on the outside looking in, and they got to have help. They're begging for help. Starts this weekend with Auburn against Georgia, and if that doesn't happen, they're for sure pulling for LSU to beat Georgia. What they'd love to happen, in my opinion, is Georgia to lose to Auburn and then beat LSU, and they'd have two losses and yet won the SEC championship. So Alabama's on the back outside looking in, guys. There is no doubt in my mind. And it's not just SEC. It's Oregon. It's Utah. It's Penn State. It's Minnesota. You can name them. I mean, it's Georgia. Of course, they're SEC. So I'm telling you, they're on the outside looking in, and they're begging for help now, because they're not going to get in if things go true to form and the win-outs win out.
Let me take one more point that Matt brought up, and then we'll go back to the phones. By the way, could use a couple of calls from you, 844-5600. If you like this argument, let's get into it. If not, talk to me about whatever is on your mind. The game that I watched, LSU mangled Alabama in the first half, but Alabama was the better team in the second half.
They were better in the third quarter. I'm sorry, Terry, if I spoke in front of you, but I think they were better in the third quarter. But they weren't the better team that day, and I agree with that. And the reason, I don't think it's the whole team. I think it's Tua. He's just not near. I thought he was about 50% of what he is. Did you watch him when he scrambled? He looked and he fumbled. He looked so stiff scrambling in that first half down on the goal line, George, if you remember that play.
Oh, sure.
And he just dropped the ball running and he looks so stiff, and that's not that kid at all. He's a very athletic kid when he's healthy.
There was about a 3 to 5 minute stretch there late in the first half where it went from, I think, 19-14 to 33-14, and to me, that was the difference in the ball game. That was the ball game right there.
Yep. I bet the paint got peeled at halftime. Can't prove that. Just
bet your house on that.
Yeah, I've just
you
been
probably
around.
Bet your house on that one.
Yeah. Jeff in Murfreesboro, welcome into WNSR.
What's going on, George?
I'm good.
I just want to ask you, how was the Wiseman talk last night? They discussed it on the ball game.
Well, of course they did.
How much was it? 30 minutes or 30 seconds?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't time it, but there was quite a bit of discussion.
Pretty much the entire game.
Yeah, it was pretty much.
I was just curious. I didn't know how much they talked about. I saw they lost, so I saw Oregon beat them. But
Oregon. Let me say this: Oregon's pretty darn good. Oregon a year ago, from about mid-February on, was one of the most dangerous teams out there. Virginia, the eventual national champion, beat them 53-49. I want to say in the regional final, if not the Sweet 16. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was going to say their women's team's ranked number one, too, so their women's team's really good, too. So, but I just want to say, as far as the playoff thing goes, I wouldn't mind seeing Minnesota or Baylor or both of them getting the playoff. As far as I'm concerned, I want to see them go undefeated and put them in the playoff. I don't know if the committee will do that or not, but Rob Mullins is the chair of it. He's the AD at Oregon, so I know he's out of the room when they talk about Oregon, but he worked for Barnhart for a while in Kentucky. He worked for him for a while, and he went to Oregon. He's AD at Oregon now. So
yeah, I hear really good things about Rob.
Yeah, he worked for him for a while. He's got kind of an AD tree. There's three SEC ADs that worked for Barnhart, the Florida AD, Alabama's, and Mississippi State's. Cohen used to be baseball coach at Kentucky and Mississippi State. He's AD at Mississippi State now. So, and the guy at Murray State just got hired last spring. He's a Barnhart disciple, too. He worked for him for a while. But now I just want to say it was the polls were interesting last night when it came out. You know, I'll bet the top four and everything, but Minnesota was a thing jumping up to 8. I kind of like that. But I didn't want to talk about it. I don't know if you watched it last night, George. You probably didn't. But the Kentucky debacle, as they say, they're going to have to hear it till Monday to play again.
Let me say this, probably did. The answer is I watched the whole second half, and I'll tell you, I was very impressed with Walter McCarty. That's a guy that really showed me something in his coaching last night. They had a plan, and it's hard to stick to the plan when you got 24,000 people yelling at you at Rupp Arena. Whatever it was, Jeff, let's not argue about that, okay?
They renovated the place at 20,000.
Whatever it is, who gives a damn?
Now they beat you, beat us. I'm not saying they didn't. They beat us. I'm not saying they beat us. They had a game plan. They beat us, no doubt about it. I'm not going to sit here and argue with you. I mean, it's early in the season. We've got time to correct it. It's not like it's March and the season's over. So it's November. So it's not, you know, that's just what I'm telling you. But he beat us, and I've got no problem losing to him. I mean, he's an alum, and he's got a national championship ring, and he played 10 years in the NBA. So, and like Calipari said, if they would have won that game last night, it wouldn't have been fair.
That was one of the things that really impressed me. Jeff, thank you for the call.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That was one of the things that impressed me, guys, was Calipari afterwards said, if we had found a way to win, it wouldn't have been right. And I appreciated him saying that.
Absolutely. Because there's a whole bunch of coaches that don't go that way when they lose a big one. I've been around them. And I thought that was very classy. And honestly, I'm not sure it doesn't help Kentucky a lot more than it hurts them. He can get their attention.
Oh, he'll get their attention.
Get the young guys going. This is. We've learned in basketball, it's so different in football, George. You lose to a major underdog in football, it haunts you the rest of the year. I mean, it adds up as the year goes on and the committee looks at it, and that's not true in basketball. You lose early in basketball and you get on a run, it's like it never even happened.
Terry, did you see any of it?
I did not. Just heard about it after the fact, but it sure sounds like that Evansville kind of played the game of their life and, you know, took it to Kentucky. You know, I'd be curious to know this. How many, you know, a lot of times when we see upsets in the early rounds of the NCAA tournament when the Davids beat the Goliaths. It's because experienced seasoned teams with a lot of kids who are juniors and seniors who are 21, 22, 23 years old are playing against kids who are 18 and 19 on the one-and-done rosters. I'd be interested to know how veteran Evansville's team was.
You know what? I'll try to look at that when we go to the break and pull up their website and see what their starting five was. I just know that I was really impressed with the way they executed. Their plan was to try to shorten the game, and that's easy to say, you know, until you get into that building. That is one of the toughest buildings in the country to be ahead and have to try to hold off Kentucky for 20 minutes, because that crowd, that's a terrific environment. I've been there a bunch, and I never had a team win there that I broadcast. And so my hat's off to Evansville, man. Job well done. What do you got, Jay?
Well, I was just kind of curious to see how the stats and everything looked like. Really, guys, Evansville outplayed them. Total turnovers, Evansville had 14, Kentucky 13. Evansville only shot 38% from the field, Kentucky 37. From three, Evansville was 9 of 30, Kentucky only 4 of 17. Kentucky went to the free throw line 25 times, made 20. Evansville went only 13 times but made 12. Evansville did out-rebound them 38-35.
Wow. Okay.
That's an amazing stat right there. You wouldn't think that a team like Evansville would out-rebound an athletic team like Kentucky.
I believe I heard this stat. Don't hold me to it if I'm wrong. It's the biggest point spread, 24.5, 25, that the underdog has won outright since, I think I heard this right, 2006. That's amazing. Anyway, Otto on line one, hang with me. We'll come to you first after the break. Need a couple more of you at 844-5600. Again, 844-5600. You pick whatever may be on your mind. We'll yap about it, and we'll return with more of the show on WNSR.
Looking for future leaders we can trust and believe in? Look no further than the high school student athletes right here in Tennessee. High school sports teach young people how to be effective leaders. It begins by making their grades and being on time for practice. It includes learning to listen, following directions, accepting responsibility, being a good role model. And it's about respect for officials, opponents, the rules, and each other. The result? It transcends sports. It gives us hope for the future. High school sports, there's so much more than just a game. This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
I want you to listen really close to a message from the folks at ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kaloudis. Your credit reports are your financial report card. A good credit report is necessary to get a mortgage, car loan, and credit cards. Even getting rental housing insurance or a job is dependent on your credit report. Here's what blows me away. 40 million consumers have an error on their credit report, and 2 million of those are so serious they're likely being overcharged for mortgages, credit card debts, auto loans, insurance policies, and other financial obligations. If you want to know more about your credit report, I want you to contact Bill Kaloudis at ShieldLawGroup.com or call Bill at 615-742-8020. ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kaloudis.
Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited to cross the street. The stoplight counted down. 15, 14,
41, 31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street.
Garden Street?
Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny.
Suddenly, he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we hugged goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth, your car stereo will always sync to the most embarrassing song on your phone.
So the reservations are at 8.
Oh, great. What was that?
That was weird. Must have synced with a nearby car or something.
Truth, it's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
Let's just,
Wait, you like smooth jazz?
No, smooth jazz.
GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
.344 Looks like the worst of the cold stuff. I hope I'm right about this. Maybe out of here. It's 43 degrees right now, 51 tomorrow, 48 on Friday, then 51 and 53 Saturday and Sunday, and then climbing up towards 60 early next week. So hopefully we've gotten the worst of what it is we're going to get for a while. Got a couple of lines open. Would love to hear from some of you. If you're out driving around, we could use some lively banter. 844-5600 is the number. Otto, line one, welcome.
Good to be back, George. First off, I want to apologize for that anti-Arkansas Guzmal zone rant the other day. I kind of understand where you guys were coming from, although that was some good conversation.
Oh, it was good stuff. Thank you.
Yeah. Although, speaking of Auburn, if you're talking about someone who's got their thumb on the scale without even being in the competition, I mean, Auburn's beat Oregon. Their losses to Florida and LSU weren't that bad. They got Georgia coming up and Alabama coming up. So, do you want to hear some SEC chaos or what?
Oh, let's hear it.
Auburn wins out, beats Georgia, beats Alabama, but Georgia beats LSU in the SEC championship game. Now, I know they were predicting like a 5% chance that Auburn would make it into the playoff, but beating Georgia, yeah, it's at home, I know, but still, you beat Georgia, you beat Alabama, again, at home, but you lost on the road to Florida and LSU. Does this mean the SEC won't get any teams in, or is Oregon looking at this and saying, yes, 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 please give to me?
Okay, hold on to all of this. Don't go anywhere. Watson, do you believe in the system that is set up right now that an SEC team will 1 year not get in?
No, I don't see that. I just don't think there'd be enough losses. There's going to always be anywhere from 2 to 4 teams ranked up there in the top 10 or up close enough at the end where they went out. Things would happen. No, I don't. Now, Otto's deal is pretty neat.
Pretty interesting.
It could happen. I mean, Auburn is capable of beating both those teams at home. They are very capable of doing that. They play much better on offense at home than they have on the road. Their defense is still, to this day, one of the best defenses in the country. And they could very well do that. I think if that happens, guys, Terry, I believe LSU would be the one to go. Even losing the SEC championship, I don't think Georgia would go over them with two losses. And LSU has the LSU strength of schedule is really good. It's really good. Yeah, and that's why they're over Ohio State right now. So I think if that happened, LSU would go. And then the rest of them, Clemson, Ohio State, who knows from then on. But I don't think anybody else from the SEC would go.
I kind of feel the same way. I think LSU would really have to choke it away, so to speak, not to go, even, you know, in that, you know, I think they are in the, they may wind up with the fourth spot even if they lose the SEC title game. I can see a scenario where that would happen.
Otto, run through your scenario one more time.
Okay. This week, we got Georgia-Auburn. Auburn beats Georgia.
Okay.
It might be handily. It might be a blowout. It might be a close one, but Auburn beats Georgia at home.
Okay, got
it. 2 weeks later, Iron Bowl. Alabama loses to Auburn. Might be close. Probably might be close, although I do hope it's an Auburn blowout. Fanboy alert, by the way.
Although, let me fire this at you. If given the choice of winning the national title or beating Alabama, but you can only have one, you'd be shocked how many Auburn people would take beating Alabama.
Especially considering back in 2017, we beat Alabama and they still won the national championship.
Yeah, okay. So Auburn wins both of these games, and then the third scenario.
But because Georgia is the top team of the SEC West, considering they beat both Florida and Missouri, and considering Missouri still got that appeal thing, which we don't know what's going to happen with that, Georgia goes into the championship, goes to Atlanta, LSU goes to Atlanta, and gets a black eye from Georgia.
I love it. You know what I love about it? It seems a little far-fetched, but not much. I mean, do I believe Auburn is going to beat Georgia? Yeah, I kind of do. Do I think they could beat Alabama? Of course I think they could beat Alabama, mostly because they're at home. But also, as Watson pointed out, they've played a lot better at home than they do on the road.
And that's not even considering that Alabama's biggest game so far has been their loss to LSU. Georgia's had a few big games, but even then they're still getting worn out. And kicking-wise, Auburn may have the better kicking team, depending on if it goes to overtime, because Georgia, after South Carolina, I don't know how confident they are. And that's not even considering Auburn's strength of schedule. So here's the other point for that. If that scenario did play out, would Oregon shoot up because of it? I think this is more of a Watson question.
Absolutely it is. Hey, thank you for the call, Otto.
All right.
Good scenario. A lot of Oliver Stone in there.
Well, honestly, it's a little more possible than you think.
Sure, it is.
Everything he said, the two wins.
Well, hold on, Matt. Hold on a second. That was Jay Henson.
Why did we get buzzed?
I don't know. What's your problem?
I mean, come on, really?
Well, hold on a second.
Georgia beating LSU on a neutral site when they lost at home to South Carolina.
I said the true possible ones are Auburn winning both those games.
No, I wasn't meaning you, Coach. I was just meaning the whole scenario that Otto came up with.
So neutral site, call it whatever you want, Mercedes-Benz Georgia Dome.
Well, yeah.
That's a neutral site
for
Georgia?
I didn't know it was going to be at the Mercedes-Benz, but it doesn't matter to me. I feel like they're still going to get beat by LSU. They lost at home to South Carolina, who just lost to Appalachian State.
So, Watson, let me ask this about Georgia. We know that there has been a lack of explosiveness out of their passing game that has been kind of an Achilles heel in all this. This late in the season, can you find something that hasn't been there that makes that better? Or is it, by now, is it you are what you are?
Well, it was better. That's what beat Florida. They threw the ball well in that game. So I think they've made strides there. I think they're a better team than they were when they beat Notre Dame. I just do. I think they're throwing the football better. And but the guys, there is a great shot for Auburn to beat Georgia Saturday. I mean, go back and look at the history of that game. The one that's supposed to win it wins it very seldom. I mean, it's the craziest series that's known to man. And then Alabama lately, when they go to Auburn now, it's been tough on them. It's been tough on them. So two of the three things Otto said are very possible. And then he asked, would Oregon reap the benefits of that? Sure they would. If they went out and beat Utah pretty good, it'd be hard to keep them out, George, at that point. I think they would bump up. That's why I say, guys, this is going to be the most fun we've had in this in forever, because every conference has got some great deals. I mean, you got Oregon and Utah. You got Penn State, Ohio State, Minnesota, all going to play each other. You got Auburn, who could mess this whole thing up with Georgia and LSU and Alabama, and then they're going to play each other in the SEC championship. The only one that's sitting in the catbird seat's Clemson, just because there's nobody that can beat them. They don't play anybody that can beat them. So the rest of this, man, it's going to be a blast to watch.
Terry.
Yes.
You've been quiet for a couple of minutes. Chime in.
Well, I just think this whole thing, like Watson said, is going to be very interesting coming down the stretch. I still think there's a scenario where Alabama gets in. I think if I were going to pull four out right now to say these are the four that will make it, I would say LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, and Alabama. But as we know, lots of things can happen between now and then. But that would be the four that I would think have the best shot of going. I think those are the four best teams in the country.
I love where we are. We are in absolute – all we need now is the guy on the All-State thing, you know, with chaos. You know, the commercial he does where the –
Mayhem.
Mayhem. That's what we got right now. So I didn't get a chance to talk with you all earlier about the Chase Young deal. It's been announced that the suspension is a two-game suspension, meaning that he sits out Maryland and sits out Rutgers.
It's tough games to sit down.
Woo. Did they get off easy?
Oh. Boy, this is amazing, the timing of said suspension. Notice it didn't happen when they were playing Penn State and Michigan.
Right. But is this – so let me try it this way. Is this the proper deal?
Gosh, it'd be hard to say. We don't know exactly the whole – what went down here. So, they said that he borrowed money from a family friend. Who was the family friend? Is it a rich old host?
Penny Hardaway.
Wow.
seriously, what? We just don't know. I don't know. And that makes you wonder
Woody
about
Hayes.
This. That makes you – Woody Hayes was his next-door neighbor.
Wow.
I don't think so, Jay. That would be a little hard to happen. Maybe it's Woody Hayes' great-great-grandson. It wouldn't be Woody Hayes, I don't think. Now you got me off track. Oh, this makes you wonder about the Memphis thing, George. If that's all they did to this kid over a loan, what happened if Memphis had held Wiseman and they make a decision that quick on him? Maybe Memphis went the wrong way here.
Well, there's no question they've gone the wrong way. The NCAA is going to absolutely show Memphis every piece of muscle that they have at their disposal, because this is them. If they give in or if they lose big, what control do they have over anything?
Tough, isn't it?
George, I thought you were going to say that the NCAA was going to show Memphis who daddy is.
Well, they might.
They may.
And then again, they may be so mad that they'll get all over Arkansas State about something.
Oh, good one, George. Good one.
So, I don't know. First of all, I do believe that this is going to be a huge issue. And I think this is an issue that is not going away anytime soon. Depending on how this thing gets played because there's a hearing on Monday they're seeking an injunction, a temporary restraining order is what it says it is, temporary, but an injunction is more of a we're gonna push this so far back that by the time they settle this young man will be gone and off to the pros. But I just think this is where the NCAA, this is going to be where they throw the line in the sand and say, if we give in here, then we have no power.
Oh, yes, I agree 100%. And even if the young man goes to the NBA in a year, which he's going to, it doesn't get Memphis off the hook.
No.
They could get busted in this now if the NC2A gets serious, and I think they will. I mean, when you take them on through my history of watching all this kind of stuff happen, George, both of us, and Terry, too, through all of the years, and you watch the NC2A, when you poke their eye now, you better get ready. You're liable to get a fist coming right back at you, so it's going to get interesting.
Yeah. Anybody else watch that game last night?
Memphis, Oregon?
Mm-hmm.
In and out. I watched, quite a bit of it, really. Memphis is pretty good. It could be real good.
Yeah. They're only going to get better.
Yeah. That's talent now. And pretty deep, George. They throw some people off the bench, too. That's a good team. If this Wiseman thing shuts up and works out and they get to just play midseason or later, this team could be up there.
Guys, guess what we got tomorrow?
Oh, boy.
The best 30 minutes of sports radio.
We got to listen, Terry, to George gloat. You know, blind hog find an acorn about one out of every 4 or 5 weeks.
I'll leave it with you.
Got to listen to it tomorrow.
I'll leave it with you like this. There's a winner in town, and you're listening to him.
Good God almighty.
See y'all tomorrow. Ballpark Franks. There we are. Johnny Ballpark Franks is coming up next.